Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Dun, 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 dun.
You're right. Stupid. Right. Okay. Chakalaka, Alabama. I like that city name?
Chakalaka, Chaka Khan.
Well, yeah, we're going to close enough. Okay. Right. You can reach us on Twitter at NeutralZone1045. It's a show handle. You can feel free to call in at any point in time, except for the second segment. We'll have a really special guest. 615-737-1045 is our number here in the studio. Predators 3-2-2 since our last show, but don't look like a shade of the team. We saw in October, currently 6th in the Central Division, only 5 points above the Kings for last in the West. What is the problem? Is it players? Is it coaching? What is it? We're going to get into that. Kyle Turris back in the lineup, pots a goal and assist in Tuesday's 3-2 overtime loss to the Lightning. Was it inevitable that Turris got back in, or was there outside pressure? Maybe a little outside pressure was a factor.
I heard pots of gold now.
He's back in the lineup. Right. We're going to talk about that, too. Predators' Ryan Johansson. Nailed with a five-minute major for an inadvertent elbow Tuesday night with while Eric Cernak, who just came back from an elbow suspension, threw an intentional elbow and received nothing but a two-minute penalty.
Can't prove
it. Something's not right here. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into that. Twitter questions, Kobayashi Maru, more. Daniel Carcillo, two-time Stanley Cup champion and mental health advocate, doing a lot around the league right now. He is going to join us in about less than 20 minutes.
Be a great segment.
That's going to be great. We're going to really have him on the show. That should be really good. Make sure you're tuned in for that. First up, though, as always, Coach's Challenge. Let's hit it.
Coach's Challenge.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, you know, I think the biggest news of the day, obviously, and this is in my opinion, I think the biggest thing that's going on right now in Predators land is the fact that Ryan Johansson kind of turned into a he was going for more of a backwards hip check against the Lightning last night and inadvertently caught an elbow in the face of Braden Point, I believe it was.
Yep.
And was hit with a five-minute major, and he was hit with a game misconduct, and he was subsequently hit with a $5,000 fine. Now, I agree with the major. I agree with the major because it's an elbow. You should always penalize the high hits regardless of, because just like a high stick, you high stick a guy in the face, control your stick. You're going to get penalized for it either way. So I agree with the major. Don't agree with the misconduct.
That's what I'm questioning.
They went back and reviewed it.
It's blatantly, if you're a ref on the ice, it's blatant that he did not intentionally shove his elbow in that man's face.
But see, at the same time, I can see their argument for leaving it as is because they're, in my opinion, was it clear cut that it wasn't intentional?
Yeah.
And I think that's where they were going with it. Like, we couldn't see enough evidence to overturn it.
So is that exactly why they just fined him without suspension?
No, the fine I thought was...
It's hefty for...
But no, that's the max they can fine in the CBA.
Repeat offender.
Well, that's the max they can fine for an elbow at all in the CBA.
I was pretty surprised he wasn't suspended, to be honest.
I thought the punishment fit the crime except for the game misconduct. I thought the punishment fit the crime. So I thought if they would have suspended him
I think mostly because, well, first of all, Eric Cernak, he served two games recently for a head hit as well.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I know. But I go back to Philip Forsberg, the hit on Jimmy Vesey from last year.
That confused.
That got 3 games. For a guy who was not a repeat offender.
Right.
Ryan Johansson being a quote-unquote repeat offender, which he was, and it was for a totally different play, but I was pretty surprised he did not get suspended. I was actually really surprised. But here's my thing on the head hit.
Yep.
In my opinion, intent does not matter when it comes to head hits.
I agree.
I think it should be
across the board.
Every head hit of any kind, whether it's intentional or not, should be a game misconduct, and the player leaves. And I think intentional head hits should be season long suspension.
But I think that's the only way you're going to get it out of the sport.
Outright banned.
Because the league talks about wanting to remove head hits from the game. That's the only way you're going to get out is if you're consistent with the punishment. and you make it even worse for people that intentionally do it. Well, that's... because, I mean, look at Eric Cernak's head.
Yeah.
Daniel Carr was into the boards on a board battle. Cernak comes in, and you can watch the replay. Cernak looks straight at Daniel Carr and then hits him smack in the face with his elbow.
Yeah.
That was the most... if that's not intentional, then I can't tell you what is.
Well, you know, there comes a fact, too, of trying to get rid of head hits just completely. I mean, you can do your best. I mean, they're still going to happen. But it comes down, like you guys were saying, to consistency with the punishment. And unfortunately, what I've seen in the past few seasons is inconsistency, complete inconsistency.
Right.
And it's starting to get very frustrating, especially when you lose players like Ryan Johansson and, you know, Victor Arvidsson to bad hits. Well, Ryan Johansson, of course, delivered that. But Bortuzzo, let's be real. He deserved more than four games.
That pissed me off. That really made me – because he
four
was like
– $67,000.
No, Bortuzzo came out afterwards and said, yeah, I haven't really reached out to Arvidsson. I wasn't trying to injure him. All right, Turd Ferguson. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
he was trying to injure the dude. He came around and broke his spine in the process.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
And I know.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I know the focus is on the head hits, obviously, here, and that's the real danger. But the Arvidsson play, that was such a dangerous play because of the kidneys are there, the spine is there. I mean, that is such a dangerous play.
The coccyx is there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Well, actually, that's a little bit lowered.
He didn't hyperextend, but he hypoextended his knees. He could have just ripped both of his hamstrings.
I mean, ultimately, I think the biggest thing is ultimately there is inconsistency across the board in major injury potential hits.
But it seems like
whether it's head hits or whether it's those nasty cross checks. I just don't think it's consistent.
Well, just seems like there's no one's allowed to actually make a case for it because it's always been a hush-hush. You never question officiating.
Well, I mean, I think you can make a case for it, but I think at the same time, when you see something like when you see Johansson get penalized for it and then subsequently fined, and then you see Cernak get nothing, that's where you come off when like, why?
Yeah.
Well, can you, okay, if they could give us an explanation as to why, because you will have. You have explanations come out for goals that were reviewed. Like they will come out, the NHL's officials will come out and say, this is the reason the goal was overturned, or the goal on the ice stood. Why can't you come out and say, we looked at the play, this is why we are not penalizing him further for
it. If you look at the common thing through all of this, it's almost like a snowball effect with bad calls. They get one wrong. And they almost kind of freeze up, oh, we can't miss another one. They end up missing another one and another one and another one. And it just keeps going and going and going. And it's getting to a point.
Well, I think what could fix this is, you know how they have an automatic review on all major penalties now?
Yeah.
I think it should be an automatic review for all major penalties and hits to the head.
Yeah.
Like even minor penalties like elbows or whatever, if it's to the head, it's an automatic review.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that would alleviate it.
And when it comes to suspending players and how the league takes how seriously the league takes suspending players, I pointed this out on Twitter, and this is my take. And this may be a little extreme for some people, but when you look at the fact that the league, the minimum number of games for suspending for abuse of an official is 10 games. The minimum number of games for suspension for abuse of a player is zero games.
Yeah, and you're talking about abuse of an official. I've seen some of those calls where it's like they barely accidentally push the ref and they're gone.
Yeah, and I'm in no way saying that they should not that should stay. I mean, the 10 game minimum for abusing an official should absolutely stay. It's unacceptable. But there should also be some minimums for abusing players, especially with head hits.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's you take all these different types of hits and everything, and you look at like concussion protocol and everything, and it's when these guys get on the ice, sometimes they just stop thinking. You can tell a player till you're blue in the face, oh, you need to watch what you do with your stick or your hands.
Yeah.
When you're in the heat of battle on the ice, you just sometimes stop thinking. That's not an excuse for some of these hits that are being laid on these players, but at the same time, keeping the consistency of punishment will only do so much, I think. But
I just saw, I don't know if you saw this play recently, but William Carrier with the Vegas Golden Knights hit Tennyson of the Flames, I believe it was. Just incredibly dangerous hit. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was almost exactly the same hit that Carrier had on Ryan Johansson that knocked him out of the game a couple years ago in Vegas's first year. I mean, so that I bring that up because that's an example of a guy that I think is just a player that doesn't go out there and think about what he's doing.
Careless.
He absolutely went just no regard for the player on the other end, just going to make a hit and to finish a play that did not need to be finished.
And on that note, to kind of finish it up there, it's like, do players like that who don't think, who make careless plays like that and really bad hits, do they, you know, care about their suspensions? Do they care if they get fined or suspended? Or like, well, I just will try not to do it again. That's the question that begs to be asked.
I don't know. It's a really interesting situation that's going on right now. And I think unless the league, because the league consistently says, hey, listen, we want to get headshots out of the game. Ryan Johansson made a note of it last or Tuesday night that he was confused as well as why Cernak wasn't given an appropriate punishment.
He said a lot about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if a player comes off about officiating to that level,
yeah,
you know, something's wrong.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah. Because I mean, when you talk about officiating, if you're a player, you look at fines.
Mm-hmm.
You look at being fined a lot of money for talking about it.
And by the way, Ryan Johansson, every single thing he said
was accurate.
All true.
Absolutely. 100% accurate.
Yes.
So, but you know, one thing we're going to touch on first before we get into the next segment with our guest is we've got to talk about some of the stuff going on across the league. You know, it all started out. Hell, I can't tell you if it all started out here.
Yeah.
But when Mike Babcock was fired by the Leafs, Mike Commodore came out, and it looked like Mike Commodore had gone a little nuts because he pretty much was just relishing the fact that Mike Babcock got fired. And, yeah, you know, I understand some players may have a problem with certain coaches and whatnot. And then it escalated. It went a little bit further, and, you know, people were like, you know, Mike, you need to step back a little bit. Like, people on Twitter were commenting that he needed to step back a little bit. And then it came out that Mike Babcock was a serial abuser of his players, whether to a physical or more in an emotional sense.
It was in The Athletic, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And then Johan Franzen, more importantly, came out this past weekend.
Interesting article.
Where he said he was a horrible human being, essentially.
Well, see, that's very interesting because you're looking at something that's not just like condoned just like hockey. It's not just in hockey. It's something that people deal with a lot just in life and other sports. So it's starting to become more and more like a widespread issue.
It is. And then you have Akeem Alou come out and essentially allege, at the time it was alleging that Bill Peters had gone into a racial tirade against him in the locker room.
Yeah.
And it came out that it was accurate and Bill Peters is no longer the coach of the Calgary Flames. You have Mark Crawford in Chicago, who is an assistant coach with the Blackhawks now. At LA, when he was the coach there, kicked Stephen Avery
Sean Avery.
Sorry, Stephen Avery is the guy in prison in Wisconsin. I apologize. Ow. I'm sorry. I'm not. If he kicked the Making a Murderer guy.
Old Gil over here.
Whoops. Okay. He kicked Sean Avery, excuse me. And now he's taking a leave of absence in Chicago. And so it goes to show you, and this is something we're going to get in with our guest. I wonder if we're just scratching the surface here.
I mean, because there seems like a real problem, but it's just all at once is starting to come out everywhere.
And you know, Daniel Carcillo talked about the Sutters as well being a massive issue in Hockey Canada and across the NHL. And while there are people that have come to the defense of the Sutters, there are a lot more people that have come against them as well, talking about those issues. And that's why I say I wonder if we're just scratching the surface with this because honestly, you look at some of these high profile coaches, because nobody would have assumed it from Mike Babcock. Unless you were playing for him or you worked for the team, no fan, no person around it would have ever seen that coming.
Some of the stories I've heard, especially reading the Franzen article, it's so not only baffling, but it's shocking. Completely
shocking. I don't even
think
I've ever read anything like that from a player like Franzen. Franzen was probably one of the most respectable players with the Red Wings during his tenure.
Psychologically,
there.
You take so much for so many years, and then one day it's just all, it's got to come out.
And a lot of these coaches that are being exposed in this way, I mean, they've got a lot of similarities. I mean, they've been around the league for a long time. They coach very similar ways. They've got track records and sort of reputations that are similar. And I'm looking around at the league and I'm seeing a lot of coaches out there that are kind of similar to that too, that we aren't hearing about yet. But like you said, are we scratching the surface? Are we gonna learn more about some other coaches out there?
Well, hang around with us because we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But let me tell you first a little bit about the folks at Line Zone. Have you ever wanted to get your business to the next level? Have you watched your sales sputter and customer count plateau? Maybe you need a boost in the right direction. You need Line Zone. They've been around since 1999, a results-driven digital advertising agency that can do everything from lead generation, social, mobile, email marketing, websites, hosting, graphic design, digital advertising, and more. Whether you're looking to grow big or small, the great folks at Lion's Own have your back and will get you where you need to go. Give them a call at 615-353-0402 or visit them online at www.lionzone.com. Lion's Own, Nashville's leading internet marketing agency since 1999, and title sponsor of the Neutral Zone after the break. Two-time Stanley Cup champion, mental health advocate, Daniel Carcillo joins us next. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions, on 104.5 The Zone.
Holiday Matters.
I'm sure that song will not be a favorite of many people here in Nashville, but, you know. Just,
that drum fill sounded like I was falling down the stairs.
No, it's you know, I've always been a fan of Chelsea Dagger, but, I mean, I'm going to chastise for saying that.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. But, you know, right now we're going to bring in two-time Stanley Cup champion, mental health advocate. And, I mean, he's a fantastic follow on Twitter. If you do not follow him, you can reach him at CarBombBoom13 on Twitter. Daniel Carcillo joins us right now. Daniel, how are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing just fantastic. Thank you for joining us here tonight. You know, one of the things I want to ask you, last night we saw an instance where a seemingly unintentional elbow was penalized with a major penalty, a game misconduct, and a subsequent fine. And then we saw another elbow that was just giving a minor penalty and then nothing else after that. When you see things like this happen during the course of the game and afterwards, do you feel like the right messages are being sent from officials on the ice and then league officials afterwards?
I think the on-ice officials have a difficult job, but these hits can always be reviewed. And like Ken Dryden says, the brain can't distinguish between an elbow to the head or a shoulder to the head or any type of hit to the head. So if we can penalize any type of hit to the head a little bit more effectively, then I think it'll deter guys from being so so reckless when it comes to making hits.
Do you think, in your opinion, do you think that some of the punishments that have been giving out have been enough of a deterrent, I guess, in terms of the headshots and just, I guess, preventing that kind of stuff going forward?
Personally, no, I don't think so. I don't think the penalties have been stiff enough, but that's something that the players in the league negotiated in the CBA. And if the players are able to put some parameters in place that save themselves from themselves in the next upcoming CBA, then I think that's one of the things that they should look at along with the actual concussion protocols.
You know, Daniel, there's a lot going on right now in the National Hockey League. A lot of players are coming forward with different stories regarding abuse that they've had, whether in their time or publicly and privately. When you saw, and I assume you saw Mike Commodore's comments come out towards Mike Babcock after he was fired, were you surprised at the immediate level of animosity? And do you feel like this was a ticking time bomb that was inevitably going to go off?
Yeah, I think once Don Cherry got reprimanded for his comments and then not wanting to apologize, that was a big moment. And then I believe it was that same week or the week after Mike went down, and then a story about Mitch Marner came out about how he likes to use the mind tricks and then use the information that he actually gained from Mitch against him with his teammates, which is just beyond messed up. And then you saw Bill Peters. You know, and I think what you're seeing today is that victims aren't afraid to speak up anymore, and they have a platform, and they're willing to do it. And so I think that coaches in the NHL, if that was once the norm, I think they need to wake up and realize that it's not normal. That stuff shouldn't go on, and that stuff isn't needed when you're talking to men about playing a sport and doing their job. Just be honest with them, look them in the eye, and you'll have a very long career.
Daniel, this is Alex. First of all, I just want to say I really appreciate everything that you're doing in regards to the mental health side of things. I know that you're a cannabis advocate as well. I think that there's so much to be said for everything that you are bringing as a former player, especially the way you played the game, and I know you've talked a lot about that. Do you think that we have reached some sort of a hinge moment where we're going to sort of start to really see maybe not just these coaches like Peters and Babcock, but we're going to see other coaches maybe talked about in this same kind of way? Have we reached a moment where other victims and other people who are either currently playing or have recently played are going to start speaking out about these coaches and this particular coaching style?
Yeah, for sure. There's 3 investigative reports that are being initiated from the 300, over 300 now, DMs that I have in my inbox on Twitter. I'm just categorizing that. And I'm sure that there's going to be more of this. Because a lot of these people, there's 2 different fights, right? There's the NHL mind games, abuse that happens up there, but then there's the physical, sexual, verbal, emotional abuse that happens at the lower level, at the development level in the Canadian Hockey League. And that is really where the focus should be, because I experienced physical, sexual, verbal abuse. Our head coach then knew about it. He participated in it. And he's still coaching kids. Moortown Junior C. And I reported that a year ago. Hockey Canada hasn't reached out. The CHL, I spoke to David Branch, but other than that, nothing's been done. And he's still actively coaching. So I think that these people, right, some of these people need to be immediately removed and rehabilitated. And when it comes to sexual, physical abuse, I don't think that they can be welcomed back. But I think that these NHL coaches, it's not a death wish, you know, and that's not what we want. We just, it's really annoying as an ex-player, because all they preach is accountability, right? If you're late for a meeting for 1 minute, you're not going to play that night, right? You get punished, right? So if they could just show that same accountability, I think it could go a long way, you know?
Yeah, no, that, I mean, and you have to be commended for everything that you're putting out there about that. But, you know, in Nashville, we have seen Peter Laviolette has been here since 2014. And I think that for the most part, we have seen a somewhat sanitized, maybe more laid back version of Laviolette in town. And I'm not really sure why exactly that is, but he has certainly been, I mean, in the media and behind the bench and with players, he's been certainly different than what stories were and reports were from his previous times. And I know you spent a couple years with him in Philadelphia. How have you seen him change as a coach, from your perspective? I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a lot, but have you seen that change from him as a coach from his time in Nashville, from when he was with Philadelphia, or maybe before that?
No, man. I mean, I'll be dead honest with you guys. I don't watch hockey. So,
makes sense.
You know, he was okay. You know, he was, there were a lot of things that annoyed me about him. He was one of the guys that liked to be the rah-rah guy and send you out to fight when you know that he never fought. So there's a lot of stuff that I don't agree with what he did and his coaching methods, but that's his prerogative, you know? And, you know, I'm glad that you guys have maybe seen a change.
So you're,
yeah.
So you're done watching hockey. You don't watch the league. You don't watch any hockey.
No, I don't watch any hockey.
I've
got 3 young kids under the age of 5 and building a business, focusing on my recovery.
Yeah.
So, and part of my recovery is getting as far away as I can from this hockey culture. So,
yeah. Daniel, does it? You know, I know, especially getting away from it and having to get away from things that are toxic, especially in your life. But does it give you any kind of remorse that you can't appreciate the game at all anymore? Especially for his
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I don't appreciate are the institutions, right? And what I love is the game. And so I've actually gotten to a point now where I grab my equipment and I go to the rink with my son and he watches me play men's league. You know, so I've gotten to a point there. But none of my stuff has the Blackhawks logo on it or, you know, there's just certain things that I just don't want to be associated with. And I'm not going to let these institutions that wronged, not only me, but hundreds and probably thousands of other kids, you know, control my love for the game, because it was always about my love for the game. It was never about the institutions, you know.
Do you think, you know, I know that of course, you said you already have 300 plus maybe DMs so far in your inbox, and a lot of these a lot of people who would have never thought about coming out about any kind of issues they experience are now doing it, and some are doing it privately, some are doing it publicly. You know, if I'm not wrong, it just feels like we're scratching the surface here. We haven't seen much of anything come out. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. Just scratching the surface. I think that once these publications like the Washington Post, USA Today, New York Times, Sports Illustrated, once they initiate their investigative reports, I think we're gonna our eyes are all gonna be opened. You know, this is it's only the beginning. You know, so I've said it before, like tonight on Twitter, and what these coaches can do if you're guilty of abuse, then you can just come out in front of it and then step away. You know, it'll go a lot further than if these organizations are going to come to your town and dig it up.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, I used to coach a sport. I didn't coach hockey, but I used to coach soccer. And I know that the way that I coached was very much about, would I want to be on my team? You know, if I was the coach, if I was a player on my own team, would I want to be there? Would I enjoy it? And I mean, in just thinking about the world in which you're describing and the world that you are sort of helping to start expose, is there hope for the future in terms of coaches that can maybe come up through and change the game from the ground up? And I mean, from like youth level to college to juniors to the all the way up to the NHL, is there hope there? Are there people that you think that could start a movement to change the way that coaches talk to and interact with and deal with players?
Of course, man. There's always hope, right? With all of this healing going on, how could there not be hope? You know, and that's what it is, and that's why I focus on the victims. But yes, there's lots of good coaches out there, a lot. You know, and. This stuff like that I'm talking about really happens where there's the biggest power gap, which is in junior hockey. You know, I think like the message got a little bit twisted and with all this stuff coming out of the NHL, but like the major things that are happening and the kids that I want to protect who are minors, and I was a minor when all this stuff happened to me, you know, they really need to know that, well, hazing is normal and it's not. Right, it's abuse, and so that's what I've been getting a lot of. Right, is these messages that, you know, they're surprised. They're like, well, wait a minute. Okay, so this explains my anxiety and depression that I still have. You know, when I go to the rink with my son, and they're talking about panic attacks and, from the stories that they've seen, and it's sad. You know, and listen, there's a lot of really good things that are, I think, already coming out of this, right? Victims are able to take their power back. And I think that there are, again, there's good people in hockey, and this will only weed the bad ones out, you know? And if you're a good coach and you know of bad coaches out there giving good coaches a bad name, then say something.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully one day there are a third party independent organizations overseeing this away from the NHL, away from the NHLPA, the CHL, and minor hockey, Hockey Canada, and USA Hockey, all the way through. There needs to be third-party organizations so there's no fear of reprisal, because this stuff does get held against you. Don't think it doesn't. You know, that's why we all just shut up, put up, and put our heads down, and what's said in the room stays in the room, and that's that.
Daniel, we're running up against time here, but I want to ask you real quick before we let you go. Can you talk to me a little bit about the Chapter 5 Foundation and what you're doing with I know you founded it. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on and how anybody that would like to help, if they can help?
Yeah, of course. It's a foundation that next chapter in your life, 5, because it came after Steve's death, out of Steve's death, because he struggled mightily with transition like I did. And it just helps guys transition into life after the game, and simple stuff. We never pay for healthcare, so we break down, you know, why you probably shouldn't pay $2,300 for the NHLPA healthcare when it's $1,100 a PPO from Blue Shield. Blue Cross Blue Shield is the same thing. My wife talks to the wives, girlfriends, family members about certain signs and symptoms that they could recognize, like anxiety and depression, because that's a reality when you retire and you're not ripping around the ice at 30 miles an hour in the morning and highly stimulated and getting your head up, beating a defenseman, getting your head up again and looking where the goalie's going and shooting, blah, 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 playing the music. So there's a lot that we do in the way of an informal process. And if guys need to be connected to treatment for head injuries or for injuries sustained to the body, for having mental health complications, then we try to hook them up with the necessary professionals and tools to overcome that. So, it's been quite a journey, and it's been great, you know, and we've got a lot of, we've helped a lot of people and a lot of people have really helped me, you know, going through this process with them. So, it's exciting and, just trying to give back, you know.
Daniel, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. I know, there's a lot going on, and I know that you're doing what you can to advocate, especially for those that are still silent and behind doors back there, not able to come out yet, but and especially for the help that they're trying to get. So I want to appreciate your time on here today, and of course we'd love to have you back on sometime.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Yeah, keep up the great work.
Yeah, Daniel Carcillo, 2-time Stanley Cup champ, mental health advocate. You can get him on Twitter at CarBombBoom13. Daniel, again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You too. And, Jesus, it's excellent stuff. I know we're up a little bit against a wire here, so we're going to go ahead and cruise on to the break. But when we get back, we're going to touch on this a little bit more, and we'll get on to talking a little bit more about what's going on. Process this back and more. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone.
An official...
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. At Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter, Christopher Martell alongside Darren Martell and Alex Dougherty of A to Z Sports.
Look,
615-737-1045 is our number here in the studio.
Such an amazing segment. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. Then you come in with this song.
Okay, 101 episodes of the Neutral Zone.
All right.
That is probably one of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
That was really good.
Ever
done.
Fantastic.
It was, you know, I lost myself, honestly, into it.
Yeah, it's because you didn't even say anything. That entire interview. You really
I was literally sitting there listening the whole time.
You were aghast.
I mean, literally, he's talking about an issue that plagues not only sports, but a lot of things in everyday life. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, and I've dealt with some of those things in my past. So it's very, you know, interesting.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who has not dealt with something at any point in level in their life.
And to hear another opinion that deep in terms of such a well-known sport and someone who's won 2 Stanley Cups, who's had success, and unfortunately, like we were talking about during the break, that, you know, it's sad. It's so sad.
That's so awful to me that he can't enjoy it now. I mean, think about that. Like, you work the first 30 years of your life. Well, devoted to this one sport, and then now you can't even look at it anymore.
And when I worded that question to him, I didn't want it to seem like, you know, I didn't want to say, hey, does it suck for you that you can't watch hockey? Yeah. I didn't want to word it, but I mean, he's got to have a level of remorse that he can't even appreciate it anymore.
And I look at it and you have to wonder, of course you don't want to ask the question because it's definitely a personal issue, but how, to what extent was the abuse and this level of trauma that you can't, like you guys said, and like, look, you can't even watch the sport.
Well, I think one thing that did, not necessarily catch us off guard is when he started talking about LaViolette. I mean, it was a good question from you, Alex. And then he talked about how, you know, he didn't really like him, but it wasn't an issue like an abuse issue. It was more like he was a rah-rah guy. You know, it wasn't his style of coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that makes sense. I mean, you can see.
That's a difference of professional opinion. That's, I mean.
He would hardly be the first person to not like playing for LaViolette.
Right. I mean, it's just like playing. It's like Tortorella. You know, he wouldn't be the first one to like playing for him either.
Don't push me.
But there was an element of hope to his, you know, I asked him that as well. I mean, and that is good. I mean, not only that, you know, it sounds like he's able to take his kid to the rink and maybe do that.
Yes.
You never know. In 10 years, maybe he'll be able to watch the games again and maybe do more than that. So the level of hope is kind of what I always try to go for. I try to look at the bright side of things. Yeah. But it's really kind of an eye opening, especially the part about, you know, all the possible stories that are out there. It's just there's so much coming out now, and it's really awful to hear about.
Well, you know, we talked about looking at the bright side, and I hate to segue straight into it, but there really wasn't much to look on the bright side last night. As that game ended in overtime. Well, we've only got a couple minutes. Let's talk about this real quick.
One of my only bright spots of that game was the performance by Pecorine. That's two straight games that he's played lights out.
The stops that Rene made on Stamkos over and over and over again. Stamkos had to be getting frustrated. He'd be like, listen, I shoot at the same spot 50 times a game. How can I not get one past him?
He's like, I said no.
And then Kyle Turris, redemption game. That was
Kyle great. Turris, when he scored that goal, it looked like he wanted to look over at the bench and being like, scratch me again, I dare you.
The deadpan look he had on his face as soon as he scored. Well, he finally smiled.
He got up, and he was just like, that's the stuff right there.
He was like, well, you know, you could have like 5 or 6 more goals tallied in the past game.
I honestly thought he was going to score the game winner. I thought there was going to be a point in time where he would have crushed in the game winner, and he would have had a 3-point night, and then the whole story would have been, why'd you scratch him for 7 games, Peter?
The answer would have had to come out then.
No, I mean, it's a lineup decision. It was a lineup decision. We know the answer.
Don't start, please.
Turris does not usually have those like kind of bomb quotes at the end of games, but his one last night was pretty interesting, saying that he felt he basically said, I felt as good as I would have played had I not been sat for 7 straight games.
He was very clear.
You keep saying lineup decision. It's going to follow me to the grave to the point that say, how did Mr. Martel die? It was a lineup decision.
You stupid idiot. That's going to be on your headstone.
It was a lineup decision.
Lineup decision. All right, okay, we're going to talk about that more in a minute. We got Twitter questions and Kobayashi Maru to get to. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on a 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone, at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter. Chris Martel alongside Darren Martel, Alex Dougherty from A to Z Sports. 615-737-1045 is the number here in the studio.
I was doing the dance from the music video.
You're doing a stupid dance. I don't know what you were doing. God, you're a child sometimes.
I am as many as I can. I'm this many.
We got a couple of Twitter questions to get to.
What was that?
Huh?
I got a couple here. What?
I'm going to fire you. This is why I brought Alex in. We're letting you go, Darren.
Wow. That was
It's been unceremonious firing right here.
You just pulled a John Laurinaitis. I wish you the best in all your future endeavors, punk. Your services are not needed.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that's enough.
Meanwhile, the Nashville Predators
are
not good anymore. Is that what's happening with this team?
It's a kind of a shaky topic right now.
That is a good question. And you know, Ty McConnell. Kyle McConnell.
I'm sorry, Ty.
Asks us. He goes, I know it's a marathon, not a sprint, but is all hope gone? Now Nashville is only 5 points out of the cellar. And I'm talking about not best in the West.
Here is why
barbecue sauce, but worst in the West. Honey mustard sauce.
Best in the West.
I mean,
Clown College. No, here's why I give his comment in question validity. Is because I don't think, since the early days in the Nashville Predator, I don't think I've seen this type of inconsistency from this team.
Oh, I see this type of inconsistency every season with the team.
Well, not as bad, I wouldn't say.
I would say it's this really bad. Every year it's this bad. There's always at least a month and a half of horribly inconsistent play.
I wouldn't say this bad.
We are now coming up on a month since, in the last month, from November 7th to... Their next game is Saturday, and they've had 3 wins in that time.
Yeah.
I personally have never seen
it. Did you not see December and January last year? I'm pretty sure those were pretty bad months.
It was kind of a haze. They
definitely go through these stretches where they're bad, but, I mean, there's something about this one that feels worse, I think, because, you know.
There's so much talent on this team.
They made the change with Matt Duchene, and the defense was supposed to not be as bad, even without P.K. Subban. I don't know. Something still seems wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And that's what's disconcerting to me, is that no matter what we got going on, no matter what we see, no matter how many times we say, hey, that was a really good period of hockey, something's still off with this squad.
Well, the W's just aren't coming in there. And do we have to start beating the dead horse again? with the power play?
No, I don't think power play scored Tuesday night.
Once. And how many tries?
That's better than the 0 times it scored in, what, 50 games last year?
But it's starting to get to a point again.
They're doing fine. Now, listen, is the power play clicking like it should? No. But is the power play getting better chances than it ever got last season? Yes.
Yeah, well, they're scoring goals.
They did last night.
One.
They still got one, Darren. It counts.
Well, yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question. Alex, I'm going to ask Alex. Just cut his mic off, Mud.
Don't do that.
Just cut his mic off. Don't let him talk. You cut your mic off. You can turn his mic back
I order
off.
You.
All right, Boyd underscore 1212 asked us, what Boyd. Order should and will these occur? Lobby stops the forward line blunder. Poyle makes a trade. Poyle tries another call-up. Poyle makes a coaching change. Well, Poyle's not going to do the call-up or the coach. Well, Poyle's not. Lobby would do the call-up. But Lobby stopping the forward blender, Lobby making a call-up, Poyle making a trade, Poyle making a coaching change.
I think the call-up will happen first. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that before Saturday because Olivier went down.
Correct.
So there's down, they're down Grandland to 21.
Is a lower body
Grandland
injury.
Could be injured. So I bet there's someone comes up for Saturday. Wouldn't be surprised.
I bet it would be a Yakov Trenin would be the one I would pick. Yeah. Seeing Mr. AHL sure. Player of the Week, I sure. would believe he yeah. would be on the docket for that one.
And then after that, possibly, I mean, I you never know with the trade. Trade can go at the top or the bottom of that list. But The
forward line blender, I don't think ever stops. I think that's the last of my opinion.
Adding more ingredients.
Yeah. A trade could possibly happen. I don't remember the other things on the list. But basically, I think that there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. One of which is the goaltenders need to play better. Mm-hmm. Now, Pecorini was great Tuesday, but the goaltenders still have a below 900 save percentage. We're, almost 30 games into the season.
Yep. Not good, Bob.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Goaltenders need to play better. Where is Craig Smith? Craig Smith is not playing well.
That was a question that was asked to us. Eric Bignes asked us that question. Where is Craig Smith?
Yeah. Victor Arvidsson needs to come back from injury. I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
We'll see. With Craig Smith, I don't think it's like a lack of trying either. He's trying to get
those
goals.
That's the confounding thing.
Yeah, it's just not happening.
He's making good plays.
And that line has been good.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? Kyle Turris's last couple of months last season, where he was actively trying but couldn't get a puck on the net.
No luck.
Couldn't get a single shot towards the net. It's really weird, you know. But here, sports psychology is a really weird thing, guys. You know, it's a really fickle thing. And I know there's a lot of people will say, hey, listen, there's a mindset and there's approach to it. There really is.
I'll be honest.
You
know? The one thing I don't see Poyle doing is a coaching change. I've never seen him with an itchy trigger finger during the season.
No, I wouldn't say any coaching change would happen during the season.
I mean, they would have to like not win a game for a month or something.
They almost did that.
Can
you imagine that happening? Holy crap. All right. Okay. Well, always one of my favorite segments. Got to get to it.
Of course.
And I've already made my decision who's going to win this one. And I think it's well-deserved. And I think this person absolutely deserves it. So we're going to get to it. Kobayashi Maru, Leadership Moment of the Week. Let's go.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
The Kobayashi Maru Leadership Moment of the Week.
Now, Alex, do you know what the Kobayashi Maru is, Alex?
Yeah.
Now, do you actually know what the Kobayashi Maru is?
No.
This week's winner is Mike Santarelli. Okay.
Well, let's give everybody a little bit of a refresher here for Kobayashi Maru.
I mean, I've been here when you've done it, but I hear the Star Trek music and I just kind of
turn it out.
I start thinking about other things and
that's okay. Let me tell you the Kobayashi Maru. The Kobayashi Maru was a test given to cadets at Starfleet Academy to assess what they would do in a no-win situation.
Nerd!
Shut up. It was essentially they were given an option. Of do they evacuate ship and have all their escape pods blown up by Klingons, or do they attack the Klingons and try to get through two ships and see what happens?
Well, it seems like the Preds have evacuated
ship. It's a no-win situation.
Okay.
Captain Kirk, being the illustrious man that he was, cheated the system by hacking it to making it to where one shot would blow up each one of these ships, and he hacked the system.
He coined the phrase.
Because he didn't believe in a no-win scenario. And that's where I get the leadership moment. What player on the Predators do I feel was the best leader for the week in question?
Gotcha.
And I think, in my opinion, and I don't think this can be questioned, Kyle Turris absolutely deserves this award.
Yeah.
This is a man who sat for 7 straight games, kept a smile on his face, said he wasn't frustrated, then came back and had a 2-point night his first game back.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing afterwards, after the game. Listen, man,
I'd have
done the same thing seven games. I mean, seriously. He just wants to play, and he came out and did exactly what he
wanted. If you want to stick it to your detractors, that's the way to do it.
Now, what is a Klingon?
A Klingon's
the dude. They got the peanut butter on their head or whatever.
They don't got no peanut butter on your head, you stupid idiot.
What? That was very hateful.
I don't remember.
Well, that felt unnecessary.
Did Klingon play for the Tampa Bay Lightning? Is that...
Yeah. Yes, it's like Yanni Gord, who I still think is a fake name.
Okay.
Yeah. We were talking about Yanni Gord the other night, and I said, "That's still a fake player." And she goes, "What? Why is Yanni Gord a fake player?" I said, "Seriously, think about it for a second. Who names their child Yanni
or Laurel?
Nobody names their child Yanni." She goes, "I know a friend of mine whose daughter's dating a guy named Yanni." I said, "That's a fake name right there. She doesn't have a boyfriend. Lene Kukua all over again."
Is it Laurel or Yanni?
I'm going to slap you and your Yanni here in a minute.
Okay, that can be taken very wrong. What exactly is a Yanni?
You can reach Alex at Alex31. You can reach Darren at Tenorman87.
I don't want to get hit by Yanni.
You can reach Darren at Yanni87. You can reach him there. You can reach myself at Kmart Tellers for Sports. You can reach Ryan Mudd, our producer, illustrious producer, at Ryan A. Mudd. You can reach us at the show at Neutral Zone 104.5. We're going to be back in 1 week. More Preds Hockey Talk. The best Preds hockey talk, the number one Predators hockey talk. Of course, we love you. You love us. It's great stuff. This has been the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. We'll see you in a week.
Yanni.